If you have your Bibles, you can open them up this morning to Colossians. Colossians chapter 4, found there in the New Testament. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. I'll tell you, today I thought we were going to be starting a new series through the book of John. That's what I thought, something that I had been planning on for, man, I don't know, 8 months to a year. I think when we were kind of in the middle of Acts, the Lord put John on my heart, and I just thought, okay, we must be heading to John. That's what we'll do after we finish Acts, after the new year, and kind of get started in the book of John. But it was about a month and a half ago that God just kind of switched directions, kind of threw me a curveball, and began to just through some things, and I'll share about them when we actually speak on this. But there were some things that the guy was just stirring in me, and I realized, okay, wait, we're not going towards John. God is taking us a different direction. And so my thought was, okay, all right, so we need to be ready. We'll move. And so it's kind of started to work through that. But the thing is, I realized this week, especially after a long week that we had the Homeless Connect and some DMA lunch here at our church and a lot of things that took a lot of my time. And so I realized this week that I wasn't quite ready to start this new series. I wasn't quite ready to go the direction that God is calling us to go, which kind of left me wondering at the end of Thursday, as I usually like to be done and prepared, that I thought, oh man, I've got my Sabbath, which is Friday, and I'm like, okay, so Saturday, I've got to figure out what we're going to do. But it was at that time that the Lord began to push me in a different direction, and I was wondering where we were going to go. And so as I prayed about that, God led me towards the topic of prayer, and it's something that's been on my heart. As you were here a few weeks ago, our prayer focus was our church. And we don't normally do that. We pray for other churches, but it was because we've had so many people dealing with so many stuff. It was so many things, just spiritual, difficult, challenging things that was really on my heart that we pray for our church. And God's really put prayer on my heart that we're continuing to pray. And I've been interceding a lot lately, which means praying for things that aren't for me, praying for others, lifting up others, lifting up their situations. And so prayer has been on my heart. So that's where as I was processing this, I just felt, okay, Lord, you want me to talk about prayer. And so as I've been processing that, I was thinking about this week, okay, Lord, where do you want me to go? And one of the questions that kind of came to me is this, and maybe a question that we all need to ask ourselves, is, are we people who pray? And I'm not just talking about praying on Sundays, right, here as a church. I'm not just talking about praying over our meals. Many of us, you know, thank you for our food, you know, amen, we've all got those prayers, you know. Thank you for our clothes, thank you for our food, so we don't go hungry and so we don't go nude, okay? Whatever your prayers are as you pray over your food, we have those prayers, but that's not what I'm talking about. Are we people who pray the way God desires us to pray? Are we people who are actually devoted to prayer? And I guess the question is, what does God desire of us when it comes to prayer? And I think there are many answers to this question. We could probably do a 3-4 week series, if not more. We could probably do a 3-4 month series on prayer if we really wanted to get into it. But this morning, we're going a certain direction. If you have your Bibles, you can kind of follow along with me as we look at one of the answers of what God expects of us in Colossians 4. Verses 2 through 4. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me. Let me read these scriptures to you. This is what it says, beginning in verse 2 of Colossians 4. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. This is Paul talking here. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. And so Paul tells us here, right off the beginning in verse 2, he tells us to devote ourselves to prayer. Throughout the New Testament, we see this word devote used 6 times in reference to prayer, being devoted to prayer. And the Greek word that's used there, here or in Colossians, and for this word devote, is the word proskatero, which means to be constantly attentive to something or to give great care to something. Now, in today's language, when we say that we are devoted to something, it means we give great effort or great time to it, right? So this should tell us right away that that if we're supposed to be devoted to prayer, if we're supposed to give great effort or time to prayer, then it shouldn't be something we only do at church or around the dinner table when we're praying for our food. It should be an everyday part of our lives. We should be praying wherever we're at, wherever we go. And I think the question we have to ask ourselves again is, are we people who are devoted to prayer? If we step back and we took a look at our life, could we honestly say that we are people who pray, that are devoted to praying and lifting up the Lord and others? Now, being devoted to prayer, that word devotion, it doesn't mean that that's all we do. Because I think sometimes it's like, oh, devotion seems like that just, it's all that we are, it's all that we do. It doesn't mean that we wake up, kneel down next to our bed, and all we do all day is pray, okay? There are monks that do that, that they are devoted to prayer in that way, but that's not what Paul is saying here. You see, I'm devoted to my wife and to my kids, right? But it doesn't mean that I never leave their side. For me, being devoted to my family means I love them, and I do my best to show that love to them. It means I think about them at times throughout the day. It means I will sometimes call, check in with them, see how they're doing, maybe send them a text to tell them that I'm thinking about them, to tell them that I love them. It means that when I make decisions, I think about how those decisions will affect them, will affect my family. It means that they are a high priority in my life. And Paul is telling us here that's what prayer should be. That prayer should be a high priority in our lives. And I think most of us believe that. I think most of us realize this. But the problem is there are always things, there's always stuff that gets in the way. Why aren't we devoted to prayer in the way that God desires us to be? Now, I Googled the question, why don't we pray? I got on Google and I just Googled, why don't we pray? I Googled that question. And I got all sorts of answers. But there were 4 answers that just seemed to be the most popular answers. 4 main excuses why people don't pray. And I don't know how many times pastors have actually created the points of their sermon off a Google search. But that's what I did today, okay? And so this morning, I want to take a look at these 4 excuses. And they're going to actually be my main points. Because I imagine many of these excuses are the same reasons we fail ourselves to devote ourselves to prayer. And so the first excuse I want to look at this morning is this, is the excuse that says, we don't know how. We don't know how to pray. Now, I imagine many of us feel this way. I think partly because it's hard to pray to someone that you can't see, that you can't touch, and oftentimes we don't hear, at least in an audible voice, that we don't hear audibly. I think it might feel weird, it might feel awkward, and so we just, how do I do it? How do I pray? I mean, what do you mean? You know, people come up to me, Darren, you talk about praying, you talk about how God spoke to you. What does that look like? You know, I don't know how to do that. And so for a lot of people, they don't know how to do it. But here's the thing. If we know how to have conversations with other people, if we know how to talk to our spouse, to a friend, to our kids, if we know how to talk to other people, then we know how to pray. Because that's all that prayer is. Prayer is simply talking to God. It's our way. Prayer is our way of communicating with Him. All throughout the Bible, we see God's people praying, right? We see these prayers all throughout the Scriptures of people praying to God. And these are great examples to learn from. I would encourage you, if you say, I don't know how to pray, to go read through the Bible, to look up, to Google prayers, people that pray in the Bible, to look up Scriptures of people praying. Jesus. Look up Jesus' prayers, right? Because Jesus prayed time and time again. He regularly went away. He regularly pulled away to pray with His Father. And in Matthew 6, He actually gives the disciples an example of how to pray. He said, hey, praying, it's easy, it's simple, do this. In verses 9 through 13 of Matthew 6, I think we have it to put up on the screen here, it says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. It's just addressing, hey God, You're awesome, You're amazing, this God that You are. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Man, it's seeking God's will, it's seeking His desires. And then it throws out some things about You. Give us today our daily bread. What are those prayers that You have? Just talk with God. Share those things with Him. Forgive us our debts. Man, that's a big thing, right? To seek forgiveness in our prayers as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is an example of how to simply just talk with God. So often I think we overcomplicate prayer. Oh, well, to pray you have to fold your hands a certain way and you have to bow your heads, or maybe you have to get on your knees to pray, right? I mean, even my example up here, I got these praying hands, like, oh, you know, and it's just because that's what we associate with prayer. But we have these thoughts of, you've got to do this to pray. You got to close your eyes. You don't have to close your eyes. I say bow your heads a lot because I think a lot of times, and the reason I close my eyes is because I know that I get distracted, right? If my eyes are open and I'll see this happen or that happen, and then it takes my mind off what I'm trying to focus on. So a lot of times I close my eyes because it allows me just to try to focus on the Lord. But we overcomplicate prayer. We make it all these things when it's really just a matter of us talking to the Lord. I remember when I was in the Marine Corps, when I first went in, I was, you know, going to all my schools and stuff. I didn't have my car or anything, and so I had to walk a lot of places. You walked a lot. And I remember as I was struggling there in the Marine Corps to stay strong in my relationship with the Lord. And so anytime I got out, I remember though, this one place I used to walk this road from where our housing area was down to this place where I could get food and stuff. And as I was walking, I would just talk with God. Now, when cars started or coming, I'd kind of talk quiet or, you know, and not like whatever. But I would just be like, God, this is hard. I want to serve You. God, you know, I just would talk to God. I would just cry out to Him as I was walking. And that's what prayer is. It's talking with Him, taking time to be with the Lord, taking time to be with Him. And like anything else, the more we do it, the better we get at it, the easier it becomes. So if we're using the fact that we don't know how to pray as an excuse, my encouragement for you this morning is a simple Nike phrase. Just do it. Right? Just do it. Just start doing it. Just start trying it. Just start talking to God. Take time to tell Him about your day. Tell Him about your struggles. Tell Him what you're angry about. God wants to hear these things. He's not offended when you say, God, I'm mad. I'm mad that You allowed this to happen. I'm upset. God wants to hear those. It's talking with God. It's being real, getting those things out. Tell Him. Tell Him that you love Him. I don't understand, but I love You, God, and I want to get it right. I keep messing up. It's just communicating. And as we continue to do that, and as we continue to devote ourselves to prayer, you'll begin to realize that, He actually talks back. He will actually speak back to you. Now, maybe not an audible voice. Maybe you will hear an audible voice. I know there are people that have actually heard, like, I heard God speak to me audibly. It was crazy. But maybe not an audible voice, but that still small voice that as you're just talking, you begin to hear things and it's like, wait, I couldn't have come up with that on my own. And it's that still small voice of the Holy Spirit just whispering in our heart, whispering in our minds. And as we begin to devote ourselves to prayer, we'll begin to hear Him. We can't let this idea of not knowing how to pray be an excuse of why we don't pray. The next excuse people use, probably the most common, I would think, I don't know, but we're too busy to pray, right? We live in a busy world. We're too busy to pray. I don't have time. I don't have time to stop. You know, I'm going. Now, many of you may know the name Bill Hybels. Maybe you've heard that name before. He is the pastor of Willow Creek Church, a huge church in Chicago. He's a very well-known author, written many books. He has a book he wrote years ago titled, Too Busy Not to Pray. Too Busy Not to Pray. And if you're a reader, you want to be challenged in this area of prayer, if you like reading books on these kind of things, I would encourage you to read this book. It's a great book. I read it years and years ago. But it's a great book that points out just the importance of prayer in our lives. It's a great book on prayer. But I share it because the title is so true. Too busy not to pray. We live in a time and age where it's always go, go, go. And more people are getting burnt out, right? More and more families are falling apart. The stresses of life and the pace of this crazy world that we live in, it's taking a toll on many of us. Many of us are becoming like the parable that we read about in Luke 8, talking about the seeds, the different seeds. And one of them references the seed that's being choked out by life's worries, by the riches and the pleasures of this world. And that's why more than ever we need to slow down. We need to sometimes just stop and take time to pray. And a lot of times the problem is we get stressed. And in this crazy busy world, sometimes, you know, we think, well, man, if I stop, if I slow down, if I take time in the morning to pray, I'll just get behind. I'll get bogged down even more. I just don't have the time to stop and to do that. And so the thought of that and knowing that you're not praying and thinking you don't have time to pray, it just creates more stress, right? And more worry and more fear. Which is why we really need to remember Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. This is what it says. I have it up on the screen. The New Living Translation is I love the way it's worded here. It says this, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. And thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. And some of you may have remembered that scripture from the New American Standard, that peace that passes all understanding, right? His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. We get so busy, we get so stressed. And what we really need to be doing is praying. The fact is, life, it's hard. We live in a fallen, broken world. It's challenging and it can get busy. But the answer to making it through these times, it's prayer. It's the Lord. He's the answer. Like Bill Hybels tells us, we're too busy not to pray. We can't make this an excuse. We have to find time. And the great thing about the Lord is the Lord is so backwards from our world that when we make time to be with Him, He stretches our time It's the same thing we've seen with our finances. I pray it every week. God, multiply it. As we're faithful, He makes it grow. And it's this backwards idea. We can't use it as an excuse. We have to take time and allow God to then enable our time to grow as we trust in Him, as we spend time in prayer. The next excuse people use is this. We're ashamed, or we feel too sinful to pray. And I know this one. I went through this one a lot in my struggles when I was in the Marine Corps, when I was in high school, different times when I would fail and mess up. There was just this guilt and shame that I didn't want to come before the Lord because I knew I had messed up. And the thing is that's exactly what the enemy wants us to believe. Oh, you're horrible. Look what you did. God could never forgive you. You're going to go before God after doing what you just did. Oh, you know, that's how the enemy works. He whispers in our ear these lies. It's exactly what he wants us to believe. But here's the thing. If that's what we believe, then we need to tell that to God, right? We need to go before him. I want to share with you a scripture out of Luke 18. I don't know why. I love this scripture in Luke 18, verses 10 through 14. We're going to put it up on the screen. Let me read it to you. It says, Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, right? This great religious leader. The other a tax collector, which was like the scum of the earth back then, right? The Pharisee stood up and he prayed about himself. In all humility, I'm guessing, right? God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all I get. Wow, he sounds amazing, doesn't he? But then the tax collector, verse 13 says, the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but instead beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. The Lord says, I tell you that this man, the tax collector, rather than the other, the Pharisee, the religious leader, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. The thing is, as sinners, we can't afford not to pray. And we can't fall into the trap of the enemy that causes our failures and our shame to keep us from coming to the Lord. If we sin, the truth is we should be running to Jesus. Lord, I messed up. I need you. You're the only one that can make a difference. And it's because through prayer, as we seek the Lord, it's through prayer that we can experience God's grace and His forgiveness in our lives. It's through prayer that we experience His forgiveness, His righteousness. 1 John 1:9, you hear me repeat this scripture time and time again. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the question is, how do we confess our sins to the Lord? Well, by talking to Him. It's through prayer. The reality is, God cares more about how we deal with our sins than He actually cares about the sin itself. Did you hear that? God cares more about how we deal with our sin than He does about the sin itself. Sin shouldn't be an excuse for not praying. It should be an excuse to pray. It should be why we're coming before the Lord. I failed. I need you, Jesus. I need you to forgive me of my sins. We can't allow our sins and our failures to be an excuse of why we don't pray. The next and the final excuse we often use is this. Well, it doesn't seem to work. Or, He never answers my prayers. Right? Why should I pray? It doesn't work. He never answers my prayers. The truth is, this excuse actually shows a lack of maturity in our walk with the Lord. In Bill Hybels' book that I mentioned earlier, Too Busy Not to Pray, he talks about this struggle of unanswered prayer. I want to read a quote to you from his book. He says this: if the request is wrong, God says no. If the timing is wrong, God says slow. If you are wrong, God says grow. But if the request is right, the timing is right, and you are right, God says go. In other words, yes, right? God answers prayers. But if prayer isn't working, if God isn't answering our prayers, or at least we feel that way, then I think the questions we need to ask ourselves is this. Number one, are we making the right requests? Are we making the right requests? Number two, is our timing right? Are we trusting in His timing? And number three, are we right? Because a lot of times, we're the problem, not God. Let me rephrase that. We are always the problem, not God, right? God is never the problem. And the only way we're going to know the answer to these questions is through prayer. It's asking the Lord, Lord, why isn't this happening? Is this something wrong? Is the timing wrong? I remember we were praying. God called us to Dallas. And I had a friend that recently had been called from Eugene to go to Washington. And his house, he didn't even put it on the market. He was going to put it on the market, and someone came and said, hey, would you want to sell your house? Yeah, boom, 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 boom. Sold his house and moved to Washington. God had called him. It was this beautiful thing, right? And I thought, man, God called us to Dallas. It was very clear. I mean, Dallas said that, or God said, you know, I've called you to Dallas. And so I thought, oh, our house will sell right away. No worries. And sat through February, through March, through April, through May. What's going on, you know? We kept lowering the price, you know? June, July. Now we're ready. We're ready to move and start the new school year here in September with our kids so that they could start in the schools of Dallas. We knew we would plant the church in January, but we wanted to be here. Our house isn't selling. What's going on, Lord? And then there was a house that we wanted so bad down by the park. And we kept saying, man, as soon as our house sells, man, we are on it. We're going to make an offer. We're going to move. And one day we're in the park after church in West Salem. We would just come here and kind of hang out in the city just to get to know it. And I look up and there's a sold sign on our house. What? God, if you would have sold our house, we could have bought that house. Interesting thing, the day our house sold, the house we now live in went on the market. And it was totally the Lord. It wasn't us. We would have never got into that house if our house sold any sooner. When we walked through the house, it actually didn't even have the final yet on the house. I was in construction. I know you have this final, and there was all these things that had to be fixed on the house before they would get the final. But it was God's timing, and we trusted in the Lord. I remember we even looked at this house and we thought, oh, we can't afford it. And our son, Toby, just kept saying, Mom, Dad, it's perfect. It's not too big. It's not too little. It's just right. Yeah, Toby, but we can't afford it. There's no way they're going to come down. There's no way. Well, how do you know if you don't ask? And so we prayed, and they said, all right, Lord, we'll give it to you. We made an offer, and they said, oh, no, you got to come up. Well, sorry, we can't. Okay, never mind. You don't have to come up. And we got the house, but it never would have happened in my timing. In my timing, we wouldn't be where God wanted us to be. Is our timing right? Are we right? Are we even asking the right things? We have to ask the Lord. If we want to know the answer to these questions, we got to ask the Lord, Lord, am I messing up here? Is there something? I'm not seeing answers. What's going on here? Prayer is our connection to God. It's one of the ways He reveals these things to us. And the more we pray, the better we're going to know Him and know His desire for our lives. The better we know Him, the more we'll understand Him. We'll understand His heart. We'll understand His timing. We'll understand His will. In the Lord's Prayer that I shared earlier from Matthew 6, verse 10 says, Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's not our will. It's not our desires. It's His. If we can learn to grow in our relationship with the Lord and learn to start praying His will and not our will, then I can guarantee you that prayer will work and that you will see answers, life-changing, mountain-moving kind of answers. Why? Because we're no longer praying our will or our desires. Instead, we're praying His will and His desires. That's why Paul desires that we devote ourselves to prayer. Because it's about us growing in our relationship with the Lord. The more we talk to someone, the more we spend time with them, the more we get to know them. It's about His will being carried out in and through our lives. Psalm 37. You've heard many people quote this scripture. 37:4, I believe it is. It talks about God giving us the desires of our heart, right? He gives us the desires of our heart. But here's the thing. I believe this happens when we align our heart with God's. When we are growing in Him. When we are living our lives for Him. And we begin to align our hearts with His. As we're seeking to live the lives He's called us to live, His desires become our desires. And God begins to give us the desires of our lives as we devote ourselves to prayer and as we devote ourselves to seeking His will. How different would our lives be if we were devoted to live and pray in this way? How different would our neighborhoods be? Our community. Can you imagine the impact that even our church, Little Dallas Four Square Church, could have on this community if we all truly became people who were devoted to prayer? How about this? Imagine the impact the churches of Dallas would have on this community if all the believers in our community truly became devoted to prayer, to not our will, but His will be done. You see, I believe this is the reason why the early church exploded. Remember, we went through the book of Acts, and we saw in Acts how the church exploded in the midst of persecution, in the midst of trials and struggles. The church exploded, and it's because they were a people devoted to prayer, devoted to the work of the Lord. And it wasn't just for them, but for the kingdom. For the kingdom of God. Colossians 4, Paul tells us, devote ourselves to prayer. But then he says this, but pray for us too, that God may open a door for the message. And that's unselfish prayer. Because a lot of times we just pray about us, right? And this is that thing of praying God's will, that it's not just about us. As a pastor of this church, I pray regularly for our church. I pray regularly for each of you. As a matter of fact, every Sunday I get in here before everybody else and I walk through and I touch every single chair as I walk through this place and I just pray. And that's because I know that maybe not every chair is going to be filled, but people are going to be sitting in those chairs. And that chair you're sitting in has been touched today. And I have prayed that God's will be done in each of your lives. And I continue to pray for you. Each week, I pray for those that God continues to bring in here. I pray regularly, but my hope is that I'm not the only one. My hope is that you too are praying for the church, that you're praying for the people in this body, that you're praying for the people in this community, that we would be the church that God has called us to be. That, like I said earlier, we wouldn't be people who are taking from our community, but we are people that are blessing and giving back to our community, that we would be a church that loves God and loves people and that sees His kingdom extended through us. Prayer is a huge part of our relationship with the Lord, and it's a huge part of seeing His kingdom extended. And my hope, I think, for this next year is, as prayer's been stirring in my heart and as the Lord kind of said, we're not ready to start our series yet, there's something else I want you to talk about, and there's a reason for that. And I think my hope for this next year is that each of us would grow in this area of our life, that we would grow in our devotion to the Lord and our devotion to prayer. And that we wouldn't allow excuses to keep us from praying. That we would make time to pray. That we would make time to seek the Lord and allow His will to be done in our lives. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this morning. And Lord, it just blows me away sometimes how I thought I knew where we would be at this point in the year. I thought I knew then, even this last week, where we were going. But Lord, how You change things up. And it's about Your will, not our will, Lord Jesus. We want to be open to hear You, and I pray that for all of us, Lord, that there are thoughts and things that we have, desires that we want, but Lord, that ultimately we would be about seeking You, that we would be people who are devoted to prayer, that are devoted to seeing Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Lord, that we would seek Your desires, that we would align our hearts with Yours, Lord, so that when we pray, Lord, we're praying for Your will to be done, not ours. We thank You for this word this morning, Lord, and the reality of the excuses that we use at times when it comes to prayer. But Lord, You've given us the power of the Holy Spirit that can help us overcome excuses. That Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can become prayer warriors, Lord. We can become people who pray regularly, seeking You, growing in You, living the lives that You've called us to live, that we can make a difference for You, Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, we give this word to You. As each of us here today, as we listen to this word, Lord, that You would allow those specific things to penetrate our hearts, to challenge us in this area of prayer, that we would become people who seek to be devoted to prayer, Lord, devoted to You, Lord. That as we're devoted to prayer, as we're devoted to spending time communicating, talking, seeking You, that, Lord, we'd grow in You and the things of You, Lord. And so we give this word, we give our lives to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.